Leelas from the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. This is the king story of King Chitraketu. Priksha was curious after hearing about the exalted death of Brichasura at the hands of Indra and his thunderbolt, so he inquired about the past life of that demon. He was a little surprised that he attained love of God. And Shukadev said, "I'll tell you about the past life, which I heard from Vyasadeva. In his previous life, the demon Brichasura was the king Chitraketu, who ruled the entire earth from his capital within the province of Shurasen. King Chitraketu had 10 million wives, but he had no children because his wives were somehow infertile. He was full of anxiety because he did not have a son. He could not get any happiness from his beautiful queens. Once the great Rishi, the Manasaputra Brahma, named Angira Rishi, visited Chitraketu, who worshipped him humbly. Then Angira inquired from King Chitraketu about his kingdom and everything going nicely. And then King Chitraketu replied that everything's fine by the grace of God, but somehow I don't have a son. So then Angira Rishi performed a Pucha Yagya, a sacrifice to get a son. And then that Yagya Prasad Kheer was given to the most qualified queen of King Chitraketu named Krita Duti. Angira assured King Chitraketu that soon he will have a son who will bring him two things. His future son will come and bring him Harsha and Shok, which is interesting. These are seemingly incompatible emotions. His son will bring him jubilation and lamentation. So the son will be a cause of happiness and joy, but also sorrow and suffering. King Chitraketu was so elated to hear that he was going to have a son, he didn't pay much attention to that. In due course of time, the son was born and finally grew up very wonderfully. But unfortunately, as a child grew, the other co-wives of the king, they became envious of Krita Duti because she had a son and they didn't. And obviously, as he was raising his son, King Chitraketu showed more affection for this wife, this queen Krita Duti, because she gave him a son. And the co-wives became burning with envy because they were somewhat neglected by the king. So they conspired together to kill the little baby by poisoning him. And lo and behold, that's what happened. The king heard that his son had died from some unknown cause, and he went mad, practically blinded by his attachment. He fell unconscious on the ground. He was crying when he came to consciousness. He was crying profusely along with his wife. And then the queen offered prayers to the Lord and also prayed to her son to please get up. And King Chitraketu began crying so loud, very loudly, and all the citizens joined with him in great grief. He was practically became like a dead man, King Chitraketu, after his son died. two rishis tried to talk some sense into the king by preaching philosophy to him. I said, what is this? What relationship does the dead body of your son have with you? You may say that you are related as father and son, but did that relationship exist before his birth, or will it continue to exist in the future? Does it actually even exist now? Listen, King. Pieces of seaweed in the ocean, they come together on the surface of the ocean. Then by the force of the waves are separated. And sometimes different living entities group together. Father, son, mother, daughter, sister, etc. Then time scatters them in all directions again. Every living being is actually in a temporary situation. So is the entire material world, a temporary manifestation. It's real, but not long-lasting. They preach to the king to illuminate him with some spiritual knowledge. But it was not the king's destiny to get a son. He got his son by the blessings of the Rishi. And of course the Rishi said at the time of giving blessings that the son would be a cause of joy, which he was, and shok, harsh and shok, unhappiness and grief, which he was now causing the king. Narada Muni also enlightened the king, and he finally gave up his lamentation by the mercy of these great sages. He became hopeful, and he addressed his Angira Rishi. He said, please, can you enlighten me? And King Angira said, you're an advanced devotee of the Lord, of Lord Vishnu. You're a Vishnu Bhakta. Why are you becoming so much lamentation over the loss of this material thing, the body of your son? It's due to ignorance. Please, King, consider who you really are. Are you the material body, the material mind, or are you the eternal spiritual soul? Understand where you have come from, my dear King Chitraketu. Narada Muni felt compassion for King Chitraketu, so he used his mystic cities and he brought the departed son, Harshashok, back to life. So then that jiva re-entered that body and spoke. Listen tightly, everyone. According to my karma phal, results of my fruitive activities, I'm moving from one body to another. Sometimes a deva, a human, or animal, plant. And so many mothers and fathers I've had. But no one is my actual mother and father. Neither are these, this king and queen. Can I accept them? The jivas are moving in this world like particles flowing down a river, taking one body after another. An animal may stay under the protection of one man for some time, and then he's sold to another owner. He's changing hands. These temporary relationships we have, father and son, husband and wife, are based on a temporary external material body. But the real living entity is eternal, the Jivatma, Nitya Jivatma. He has no real intrinsic parental relationship with anyone. Actually, we're all part and parcels of the Paramatma. The Atma, the Jiva, is simply watching, observing, or witnessing the various bodies and qualities and interact with his material body. But he, the Jiva, the spiritual anti-material particle, is never truly affected by these perturbations of the modes of nature. We have the practical experience that today's friend may become tomorrow's enemy. Today's lover may be tomorrow's hater. Someone loves you dearly, And with the passage of time and change of circumstance, the same person hates you completely. So after that Jiva finished speaking, he left that situation. Hearing these very profound philosophical words coming through the mouth of his child, he became detached from his mundane affection. He performed the cremation of the son as a result of hearing from Angira Rishi and Narada Muni. Chitraketu became spiritually enlightened and he left the family life, came and bathed in Yamuna, and he worshipped Angira and Narada. Then Narada Muni was pleased with his humble worship and surrender and submissive mood and his state of his realization. So, listen, King Chitraketu, I'm going to give you mantra diksha. This mantra is so powerful that if you carefully chant this mantra, in 1 week, you'll get Sakshat Darshan of Vishnu. O Supreme Lord, who is addressed by Omkara, Om, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. O ultimate truth, one without a second, you are the greatest and are self-sufficient, and thus I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. There's a long prayer describing the Lord. So after Narada became Chitraketu's guru, he returned to Brahmaloka along with Angira. King Chitraketu drank only water for 7 days. He very carefully chanted the mantra. And after 1 week, he was given the lordship of the Vidyadhara planet. A few days later, by the influence of the mantra, King Chitraketu attained the shelter of Anantadev, Sankarshan, and he saw Lord Shesha's complexion. As soon as King Chitraketu saw or had darshan of Lord Anantashesh, he became cleansed of all material contamination and became fixed in his Krishna consciousness. He cried profusely, his hair stood on end, and he offered repeated obeisances. He could not speak for a long time. Finally, he started praying, O my Lord, you cannot be conquered by anyone, but you are conquered by your devotees. By giving yourself to your devotee, you captivate their hearts and thus take total control of them. Foolish persons are thirsty for sense gratification, so they worship demigods, but they're just like animals that somehow have attained a human form. Very nice prayers he's offering. So one prayer he's saying, those who are Krishna conscious have no enemies. Their only engagement is to seduce others. Anyone who follows another form of dharma besides Bhagavad Dharma is simply ignorant because he wants material things. Oh my dear Lord, it is not impossible for one to become immediately liberated from material contamination simply by having your darshan. Not to speak of seeing you personally, but even merely by hearing your holy name once, men can become freed from all material contamination. My dear Lord, because of seeing you, the contamination of sinful activities and the lusty desires and material attachments that had previously always filled my mind and the core of my heart have been eliminated forever. By the mercy of my Guru Narad, I have had your darshan. O Anantashesh, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Lord Ananta was pleased by King Chitraketu's prayers. Now your life, and he replied, Lord Ananta Shesha said, my king, now your life has become successful. Knowing that one can attain the highest perfection of life by bhakti, one should give up all fruit of desires. By getting married, a man and a woman plan to attain happiness and decrease unhappiness by their mutual combination. But because they have so many material desires, the activities they perform simply lead the husband and wife on the path of sadness. After having experienced this, one should give up the desire for materialistic activities and become a Vishnu Bhakta, knowing that actually every jiva is my eternal part and parcel, my eternal servant. O King Chitraketu, if you accept this Siddhanta and remain unattached to material enjoyment and serving me with great faith and devotion, you will definitely attain perfection of human life and live eternally with me in the spiritual world. After instructing Chitraketu, Lord Sankarshan, the Adi Guru, disappeared. The king looked down with wonder. King Chitraketu began traveling all over the universe as the chief of the Vidyadharas in a beautiful airplane that had been given to him by Lord Vishnu. He was enjoying always chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord, surrounded by the Vidyadhara women. Once, while he was traveling through the sky, he saw Lord Shiva embracing Parvati with his arms as she was sitting on his lap, and Shiva and Parvati were sitting amongst many great sages. Astonished by this sight, Chitraketu laughed very loudly. Then he said out loud, so everyone heard, Lord Shiva is the spiritual master of the whole world, the greatest tapasvi, the strictest follower of Vedic Niyam. But yet his wife is sitting on his lap in front of saints, and he's shamelessly embracing her. Even ordinary persons enjoy the company of their wives in a solitary place. But yet, Shiva is embracing his wife in public, right in front of the great rishis. Shiva simply smiled and remained silent, and all the sages kept quiet. But although it was highly improper for Chitraketu to criticize Shiva, but Parvati didn't keep quiet because her husband was offended. Who is this upstart who can punish shameless persons like us? Is he now the only master of everything? This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas. He's overstepping his authority. He's proud and thinks he's the best. Okay, my dear son, Chitraketu, now you take birth in a family of sinful demons. You'll learn never to commit such an offense again to great personalities. That was a problem. Chitraketu became proud of the boon he got from Lord Sankarshan, and he foolishly thought he could criticize one of the great Mahajans, Lord Shiva. He descended from his airplane and he bowed before Parvati with great humility. Oh, Mother, with folded hands, I duly accept your curse. It is all due to my past deeds. I accept whatever I deserve. Oh, Mother, I do not blame you, although you have become unnecessarily angry, because it's due to my past activities that I will suffer. But, Mother, I wish that you will forgive me for whatever wrong I may have done. Chitraketu was aware that he had not consciously or mentally, deliberately acted offensively towards Lord Shiva. But he understood that this was the will of the Lord for his rectification. And simply, the Upadan Karana, the efficient cause, was the will of the Lord, and the immediate cause was the curse of Parvati. After pacifying Parvati, Chitraketu departed. Later, Shiva addressed Parvati before the sages. My dear, beautiful Parvati, by seeing the behavior exhibited by that great Vaishnav king Chitraketu, have you now understood the greatness of the Vaishnavas, the devotees of Lord Vishnu? They are not attached. Krishna's devotees are not attached to any kind of happiness or distress. They're only interested in serving the Lord. They have no fear of any condition of life, whether they go to heaven, hell, or liberation. They simply want to hear the Lord. O Parvati, King Chitraketu is a great Vishnu Bhakta. I am also dear to Lord Vishnu. Thus no one should be astonished by our activities, which are always free from attachment and envy. Somehow Parvati did not understand the joking relationship between the two devotees, Lord Shiva and King Chitraketu. But after hearing her husband's speech, she became ashamed, admitted her fault, and covered her face with the border of her sari. After some time, that Chitraketu appeared as a demon created from the sacrifice of Twasta. He became known as Ritrasura. Although he was born with a demoniac body in a family of demons, he was always fully self-realized and never out of touch with his Krishna Bhakti. This is the story of the previous life of King Chitraketu, who we described the story of Ritrasura.